Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here are your hosts, the one and only Dr. Payray and the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. That's right. Still recording, still going, 100-something episodes strong. You know, there'll probably be a good bit of content coming out of Miami this week. Me, Payray, we're both in Miami. We'll be recording, kind of doing some fun stuff. And I have two special guests who've never been on the podcast. Justin, have you ever been on a podcast?
No, I don't
think
so.
Two first-time podcasters.
Yeah.
This is great.
First time for me.
So we got Justin McElroy from Midwest Dental Arts.
Yep, that's right.
And Nikolai, I have no idea what your last name is or what your lab's called.
Its last name is Mansuri, and my lab is Detroit Dental.
Oh, yes,
lab.
I know exactly who you are. Okay.
Oh, you know what?
Well, I connect the dots. And you're a Detroit Dental Lab?
That's correct.
Very cool. I guess you're a Detroit then.
Yeah, I'm just outside of it, but yeah, born and raised.
Okay, so cool. So we're all down here, obviously, for the 3D Next event that Sprint Ray is putting on, and you know, printing has kind of started to change the game a little bit. And I'm super, selfishly, the way that I like to do these podcasts a lot of times is I just like to get information. And I like to basically hear y'all's perspectives on different topics and whatnot. And obviously, you know, as it pertains to 3D printing, it's a very, very, well, one, even going greater than that, the lab industry is changing. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
It's changing fast.
Talk about what that change looks like maybe before we jump into 3D printing and how what does that mean that it's changing and changing fast?
Well, I mean, just the way that data is acquired right now. You know, you don't have that PBS impression coming in 3-4 days later. You got to pour it up. You got to scan it in.
How much of your
I bet all of our
clientele
90%
now
of our cases are probably all digital right now.
I actually kicked every single person out of my lab that wasn't digital.
No,
like
shit.
Six months ago.
I'm considering it.
And really?
I got rid of I gave them a time frame to get with it, and it was basically at the beginning of 2021, and if they didn't do it, I just sent them dismissal letters.
That's amazing. So literally every single one of your clients is now
digital.
Digital.
I don't
That's even fascinating.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting to that point.
So, Nikolai, what all lab stuff do you do?
So,
because that's the other thing I think that's changing right now is like the way labs are set up.
So,
and the type of dentistry they handle.
So, realistically, what we're doing is basically implant dentistry. You know, we try not to do much basic crown and bridge. We'll do it if it's, you know, a case that has implants in it. But other than that, we won't accept anyone that's not doing implants.
So fixed stuff, locator stuff, everything, or just more just fixed?
Mostly just fixed. I mean, we do like custom locators and things like that, but that's about it. We don't do any dentures or flippers or anything of that nature.
Very cool. Y'all do obviously a much...
Yeah, we do it all. I mean, it's tough. For me, my main focus is full arch fixed surgeries, guided. But the single tooth dentistry for me is just something that I'm not going to try to compete
like,
at that level.
Right,
you know?
Just like how we as the clinicians sometimes change and go on. Mm-hmm. You know, you're kind of doing this. Both of you all have done the same thing, which I think is important because to me that's part of like where the labs industry is going, right?
100%. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, a lot of lab owners and technicians, they would get real frustrated if they'd see a dentist that wants to do their own designs or their own in-house milling. And to me, I encouraged it because the more you know, the better off you're going to make us, you know, because you know what information need to provide, you know, in terms of scans, 100%. Margins, you know, how to scan full arch implant cases. The more you know about digital dentistry, the better our cases are going to be.
I kind of see the lab industry going in more of a design fashion over the years. Do y'all think that will happen, or do you think that will, like, do you think you'll continue to see more people bring stuff in house, or do you think toward design will become bigger and bigger and bigger, or do you think that there will?
I think it'll be a combination of both. I mean, the simple stuff, I think, is going to end up being done in-house, you know. But, I mean, the stuff that Justin and I are doing, the more full arch stuff, like, that's a little bit more tricky. I mean, maybe it'll get there, but I see it more of a, like, export out the scans, get your design back, and send it to your 3D printer, which, I mean, I already do with a few guys across the country anyways.
How's 3D printing changing things?
Just quickly. I mean, you don't have to worry about getting it perfect the first time, you know. Sometimes just like tweak a few things, send it in, get a brand new scan of a bite or whatever, or a change of a tooth shape, and get the patients okay, and then just print another one. I mean, I sometimes print 3 or 4 different types of teeth for patients. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Oh, really? So they can see, like, different things. How come you've never done that for me, Justin?
Oh, we could do it. We can do it. I mean, it's nice that you have your own printer, you know. When I know that a client has their own printer, it alleviates a lot of that stress off of me, because to design something, it's simple and fast. It's that manufacturing part, depending on what you want, you know. So if you want to do a simple, hey, I've got a patient, they're in an existing denture, it's 12 years old, I'm going to send you a 360 scan with a wash, go ahead and send me your design back, I'll print it in the office. Stuff like that is really streamlined, or like what we've been doing with hybrids.
Well, it cuts down turnaround time significantly.
Oh, for sure.
To me, that's the part that 100%. There's no shipping.
For sure. For sure. I mean, even with the case, you know, like Ralph was introduced today, he's going to be part of the Sprint Ray team, you know, and with SmileFi. But hey, I got a patient that they want 10 veneers, you know, and they come in on a Monday. Can I prep them on a Wednesday? I got a hole in my schedule. I need a wax up. If you tell me I need the wax up printed, the matrices done, the reduction guides, that's a lot of pressure on me, and then I got to rely on UPS to F it up, you know? So when you have the STL file to print, you print it the next morning, we're a day early, you know, so your assistants can make your own reduction guides, you're prepping, you know, scan the veneers, scan the temps, put that back into the folder, shared folder, and then your final design's ready to go.
T-Bone's going to talk about that this afternoon a little bit, actually, on as far as the why, like how 3D printing really should be impacting us. And that's kind of the mindset that we take, too, as far as a lot of people see 3D printing as like this savings thing, you know, like it's just to save money on models or algorithm, et cetera. But to me, that's where it is. And when you have the ability to maintain holes in your schedule strategically, because you remove the preparation time out of it, it's amazing how much more you can close. And so, like, what I'm saying is, like, it's not uncommon for me to do, and like, we're a big block scheduling. So, like, and I don't know how much y'all know about block scheduling, but what that means for us as dentists is basically that we hold spots open for certain procedures at the core of it, right? So, like, every Thursday, I have a full day surgery. Like, I just don't, and so it's either a full day surgery or it's nothing. Right. And I'll hold that basically until like 24 hours before. And the challenge is in a traditional model before you've got to have all this lead time leading up to it of, you know, 2-3 weeks to get the parts and pieces you need. Those blocks would have to go away a lot sooner, because if you get to the same week, there was no way you could then turn it around and do it. And so that's what we're seeing is now I'm able to do consults on Tuesdays. And then I literally could see that patient on Thursday or tomorrow to do the dentistry. And, like, that's incredible, you know. And we live in, obviously, you know, we live in such a two-day shipping mentality where we can get anything. Or, like, I mean, literally, you know, I Instacarted ketchup to my office the other day because I was like, they didn't send me fucking ketchup.
I left a tissue punch that I buy on Amazon for all my surgery cases. This assistant texts me, and she's like, you left this at my office. Rather than send a driver there or have her ship it, I ordered another one for $11 and it was at my house the next morning. Like, that's how convenient it is. And the concern with shipping and, you know, clients that don't have their own printer, you know, like I was telling you, a case on Tuesday where the guy had some failed implants, had to take out his prosthesis, put some more implants in, I cammed him, design. If I would have overnight shipped that full arch from Sarasota to St. Pete, it's 42-minute drive, right? If I overnight it, UPS takes it to Memphis.
Right,
and from Memphis, it's got to go back to St. Pete. That guy might not get his teeth. So he just drove down to pick it up in Sarasota and took his teeth back to the office. So having that in-office printing capability to be able to do that so quickly, I mean, a full arch design, I mean, you're designing, you said 10 or 15 minutes maybe, to be able to print it in 40 minutes, you know, and then tomorrow we're doing the hands-on course, Klaus and I, on showing just kind of the process of how to finish these cases. Depending on, you know, what materials you're using to finish, I mean, that finish time, you know, it could be with cure times.
People always
20,
ask, like, how long
minutes,
does it take to
finish?
How long? Because, like, my assistants will do a lot of that stuff. Like, how long does it take your assistants to finish? And I say, as much time as I give them.
Yeah.
You know, if I tell them they need 10 minutes, they'll get it done in 10 minutes. It may look like 10 minutes.
It depends really what you're using. I mean, if you're going to opti-glaze it, it's about as fast as it gets. You know, maybe under 10 minutes if you have a nice light. I mean, if you're going to put on some composite, maybe most of us aren't really given that much time, so it's kind of a it's kind of a race to the end. So a lot of it is just opti-glaze, I'll be honest at this point.
And when you're dealing with full arch, though, I mean, it's crazy because some of these patients, as you know, bombed out teeth, you know, they have hadn't had any teeth or whatever it may be. So you put a good design in there, even if it's poorly finished, you know, just one coat of opti-glaze.
That's very
with
true.
With a little bit of pink, that patient, they can smile, they can function. You know, you're giving them teeth. It might not be the most aesthetic, you know, it wasn't done by a master technician or something, but you're giving them teeth, and that's the whole goal, and especially in prototyping. Hey, when we have more time, let's print another one, and we'll spend a little bit more time making it look better, you know?
This is interesting, though, because, like, to me, like, the message I'm hearing from you is, on some level, is, like, there's a huge benefit to the dentist having the printer in their head.
It's amazing.
Which is crazy, which is important, though, because to me, like, again, it goes back to, okay, where do y'all see things going, and then what ultimately is the, where does the value then become in the lab? And the value is so much in what y'all do on the design side of things and be able to get it. Now, obviously, the end product's a different, that's a whole different story, but y'all aren't making money in 3D printing the temp and getting it to us. Is that, and no. You know, basically that becomes a loss leader for y'all, or a pain in the butt.
I mean, I love it when doctors have 3D printers. It makes my life so easy. I don't have to be in the lab. I mean, I used to design when I was on vacation for doctors. If they had their own 3D printer, I would just wake up, they'd tell me what time the surgery was, text me when the files were about to get to me, I'd design it and send it right back to their printer. Like, it's amazing. Yeah,
I mean, the thing with the implants and full arch, you know, patient compliance and all of that too, it's nice to be able to have that file saved. And if you have your own printer, like, I hate getting calls on Saturdays. Hey, my patient broke their temp. Well, what were they eating? Well, it doesn't really matter, but they broke their temp. Can you get me another one?
By Monday?
If they had by Monday. It's like, dude, I'm not going in right now to print another temp. Try to rush it to UPS. If they had a printer, they could literally log in, print it. Monday, come in, I'm going to screw your teeth in. Oh, I'm not even going to put pink on it, but I'm going to give you teeth. You're going to be fine, you know?
Literally had this happen on Monday of last week. My flight had gotten canceled because of all the Southwest debacle stuff. And I was supposed to be going to Vegas. Patient breaks there right down the middle, their temp. And so literally calls in, and I said, Andrea, go print. Just go on the history, literally, and reprinted the thing. He comes in, and we screw it. Literally pop it out, screw it, and I was like, that just saved. I was like, what would we have done if this was an acrylic converted?
It's also a nightmare having to deal with shipping. I mean, because half the time you're paying for overnight shipping, and I don't know if you've had to deal with it. But
guarantee anything either
since
anymore.
The start of COVID, yeah, I mean, shipping's so you can pay for overnight shipping and tell you that it's guaranteed by 8 a.m., but there's no guarantee that it's showing up by 8 a.m. So, and then you always get a doctor calling you repeatedly, 8:30, 9:30, like, where is it? So I love the printer in the office.
How many printers do you have in your office?
Two that are mine.
Yeah, which
one? We have some for our teaching ones. We have the Pro 55 and the Pro 95.
95.
Just print ray ones. I had a Form 2 for forever, and it was fine, but we had issues then, I think. A lot of our issues with that printer were probably more around us and our workflows and knowing what to do. But now, yeah, we've had our predictability and consistency with printing has gone up significantly.
What printers do you have in Europe? You have everything, obviously.
Yeah, we have everything. But in Sarasota, you know, I've got 5 Pro 55s and, or maybe 6, and then 195, and then we have a Sega, but, that's been down for a while. We just don't use it weren't using it that often, you know, but we've got Carbon and Nextent and all the other.
What do you think about the Carbon, the Lucitone coming to...
Yeah, I think it's great.
I mean, is it a good resin?
It's good.
A very good resin, yeah.
You know, and that's another thing, like with resins and testing, I feel like with 3D printed materials, you know, they have the studies and stuff on how much it's going to hold up, you know, but the true test is time and patience and compliance. But with at least having a digital file or a 3D printer, now with Lucitone being available, you know, I had a dentist text me a picture, hey, this patient's denture is only a year old, and it was a digital denture, you know, and it split right down the palate. It was just a printed Lucitone with some teeth. Well, if he had his own printer, literally pull the file and he could print it, no problem. But he's asking me, you know, hey, what's the cost to remake it, you know? Well, if you just had your own printer and resin, it cost you about $12.
Yeah, that's nice.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I think printers in the office are really going to, you know, help people like Justin and I live a little bit more of a relaxed life. I mean,
well, and you, I think where you get to is, you know, I have to imagine y'all's overhead on some level is going to decrease as well from that standpoint. just a matter of...
The overhead is one thing, but it's really the, like what Justin mentioned.
It's the emergencies.
It was like the Saturday, get me this by Monday morning, like get me this by, you know, Tuesday, patient broke it. Like those are the cases that kill us, you know? It throws us off our game. We already have the next day planned out what has to hit the printer. We have to jump it in front of it and, you know, then send someone out of the lab to UPS to next day something. Like
it sounds like you need to fire all people that don't have their own printers. That's next step.
I mean, I've actually been debating about just buying some of my doctor's printers more recently, like that don't want to get into it to just solve the problem.
It's funny, though, when you say, you know, you ask, and we have that on our sheet, like our new doctor contact form, you know, like what intraoral scanner do you have, you know, and they can click which one. And then if they have 3D printers, and even on a lot of our RXs, you know, we have the design only option, you know, that way we know, hey, this is only for design. Don't manufacture it. You know, they want to do their own manufacturing in their office, which is great. But what's crazy to me is the excuses that people have. Oh, we're not ready to get into that yet. Like they think 3D printing is hard.
Like,
oh, that's too much for me to take on. Now I get it if it's milling, because milling is a little bit different. But the 3D printing aspect, like when we hooked up.
Well, and it's team driven. I mean, like for us in the offices, I don't touch my printer.
And I don't think people realize how easy it is, you know, like especially with this ecosystem and what we're here seeing this weekend is like literally it's plug and play. You know, I mean, my 12-year-old come to work after he gets out of school, you know, and he's like, oh, I want to print something. You know, he knows exactly how to do it. And I didn't have to teach him anything.
It's just that generation, yeah. I actually, another nice thing you might want to get into with some doctors that have 3D printers, they set them up on separate computers and have TeamViewer, and they give me the login, and I'll just log in, and I'll load the print up for them, and I'll set it to the print.
Oh, yeah, you're really
nice to go. And then I'll just text them and say, it's printing for you, go get it.
That's amazing.
You try to make it as easy as possible for both parties, you know?
You're by yourself, Nikolai?
I have one other guy that works with me. We like to stay a little bit smaller, so we kind of handpick the doctors we like to work with. In the Detroit area, probably like 70% of my work comes from there and 30% from around the country. But at this point, we run at basically 75% full arch cases, and then the rest is mostly just, you know, implant cases of some sort.
ExoCAD?
Yeah.
Y'all are ExoCAD too?
Love ExoCAD.
It's pretty much, I mean, what 3Shape would be the only other big software people are using, or?
I mean, is anyone really using that much anymore? The licensing got on it so crazy. I mean,
my guys won't touch 3Shape. I mean, just a nightmare.
So ExoCAD is the...
Yeah, once they stayed open, I mean, I don't know about for you, but I'm like a smaller lab, and I just did a bunch of stuff in the implant world, so... The licenses and like the modules were crazy at one point. I looked at it like to purchase them in the beginning when I started. It was going to be like an extra 25 or 30K and then an extra $8,000 a year to keep them open, you know.
Well, and y'all give two different unique perspectives too, because Nikolai, you're a two-man show, mm-hmm. you know, and Midwest has how many?
Like 100 employees.
100 employees in four different locations.
Yep, exactly.
So, I mean, that's, it kind of gives you the different perspective there.
I mean, for me, the nice thing, you know, to be able to have the technology, like I have a Medit i500, a Medit i700, all the printers, the iCam. So what's nice for me is to be able to take that technology, go to an office quick, get my records, show the dentist how to do it. And then that way, you know, one, they can do it next time.
What's the order of technology that you would have dentists buy?
From a lab standpoint.
I would say they have to get the i500 or i700.
So you're a big Medit guy.
They're great.
They're a great scanner. And I think what people don't realize is what you can do within that software.
That software
It's one thing about having a scanner. So, like, I mean, I was a Trios guy since, like, 08. But you had to buy all these additional modules. With Medit, it's like, hey, wouldn't it be nice if you could have a software that would actually overlay two meshes and you could take measurements? Oh, yeah, we can develop that. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a module where you could actually base your model and put a patient's name on it? Medit has done that for free. So like, if it doesn't matter what scanner you have, you can download Medit software for free, and you could throw your scans from Cerec in there and you can compare it. So like, now that you have iCam, I don't want to put an ExoCAD, I'm just going to open up Medit Compare. You can throw your iCam geometries and your you know, pre-op scan, your scan of your temps, your edentulous ridge scan, you can overlay it, save it, and then send that to a designer if you wanted to. So the nice thing with scanners now is a lot of them have no annual fees and super cheap entry points, you know.
Yeah, what is,
$15,000 to $19,000 for a scanner.
That's incredible.
It's crazy, you know, hey, do you have a scanner? And for my clients that don't have a scanner, I'm like, fuck. You know, like, you just go buy a scanner. Oh, you got a case? It would be really nice if you could just scan this for me. I don't have a scanner, you know? And it really...
So you're doing... So, Nikolai, then, obviously... But I guess you too, Justin. I mean, you're digital only, basically, and so that means all your full arch is digitally. So are you basically, is it modelless workflows all around for full arch stuff?
I don't print a model for anything. Wow. At all.
So in that world, basically everything zirconia?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, that's what I have a lot
that's
of
That's the
guys.
Downside, I guess?
I mean, you know, zirconia or zirconia with some type of thimble bar, I mean, that's basically where it limits, but I'll be honest, that takes care of majority of cases. I don't know many people that are requesting much anymore. I feel like zirconia has advanced so fast and so far in the past few years that it is like getting to a point where it's kind of like, well, why would you pick anything else? When you go in, I mean, I always tell doctors...
I guess my only concern with zirconia is when zirconia, like every system has a weak link. And on some level, I like that. I want the prosthetic to be the weak link. And so, like, that's why I like that, you know, because to me, if the prosthetic breaks, that's repairable. If the implant breaks or a screw breaks or the connection to bone breaks, then that becomes a catastrophic failure. And so that's my only concern. But I guess to your point, too, there's enough out there at this point that we're not seeing that, I guess. But that is my fear, is when the weak link isn't the prosthetic anymore, what does that look like in 5 years, 10 years? Are we going to lose implants?
I think the big thing comes down to planning, you know,
like occlusion.
Occlusion. What you got, these patients that are going to say, oh, well, I'm going to do my lower arch next year. You got 6 lower anterior teeth. You want to do an upper arch, you know, like the amount of failures that you're going to see with poor opposing dentition versus a zirconia or lack of implants, you know, a poor spread, lack of vertical height reduction. A lot of that. So that's where where the printed prototypes really play a key role, is because let's say surgery didn't go that well, or maybe there wasn't enough bone reduction. You put them in a prototype. A lot of times that final material selection is based on how that prototype looks and functions. So, hey, I was going to do zirconia on this case. Well, hey, I wouldn't, because the patient won. Remember, they complained about the lingual contour. I can't get this any thinner. If they think it's going to be thinner in the final, it's going to be zirconia. It's not. So we got to go to a chrome bar with, you know, ceramic teeth. No big deal, but let's identify what functioned with the prototype before we make the decision on the final material.
That's as easy then as us, like, us adjusting said mm-hmm. prototype, scanning that, sending you back, and then y'all are literally overlaying it and able to make the adjustment?
Yep.
That's so slick.
Yeah.
So slick.
And the nice thing is, too, with what you just got recently, the iCam, and I've been using it now for a year, is, God, I want to change that angle, you know, before, I already have a verified, you know, mounting and this and that. You know, how many times did you not change out that 17-degree MUA because you didn't want to work backwards?
Right,
now with
right,
iCam,
right.
It's like, hey, your MUA is, you know, 2 millimeters sub G, or hey, you know, you could actually just rotate the MUA and you'll get a better angle on it. Oh, no big deal. All I got to do is re-iCam it. It takes like 20 seconds.
Right. You're not wrong. It's funny you said that. I've had cases where I like, shit, I don't want to adjust it, because then I'm going to have to, you know, yeah, that's a pin, yeah.
It's been great. I've had a few cases just like that where the doctor came in, did the surgery, you know, one was going out the buckle for the temporary, came in for the final scan, swapped out the MUA, took the final scan with the iCam, took that MUA off, put the old MUA temp in, final comes in, take that MUA that he tested on, put on, everything screws in together. It's like,
so good.
That would have taken it, you know, a few months before to get that correct. Now it's just done just like that.
It's pretty sweet.
Dude, yeah. I can't tell people enough how amazing it is not having to do chair side conversions. I mean, it is the most beautiful thing. It's worth every penny of that daggum machine and printer to be able to you know, send that to y'all, have y'all that design, get that design back to me, print the thing, have the patient come in the next day. I mean, my surgeries are easier, the patient's better. I mean, the patient doesn't have to tolerate being in the chair much any longer. They literally leave, they're happy, they come back. And like, I was shocked too how easy it is to like take off protection cylinders and screw it in. And like, I'm thinking like, well, I'm gonna have to renumb them. I'm like, no, it's crazy. And then the patients are in a good mood. They can smile. They can show you. They're excited. I mean, otherwise they're bloody. They're sedated. You're trying to get like trying to have them bite down to get some kind of like adjust their bite. It's just like, oh, so yeah, it's been good.
It's definitely been a game changer.
For me, it's just I've done thousands of chairside conversions. So
yeah,
maybe, you know, I think you learn from your mistakes and your experiences. So I'm super fast at it, but I completely understand like, to index a prototype over some healing caps.
I think I'm still making the mistakes. That was my problem.
Design and print it. You're like, yeah, that was super easy, you know? But I mean, that whole workflow for full arch, and I mean, we got that whole presentation tomorrow.
I'm excited
for that. With what we're doing with the resins right now, it's a game changer either way. Whether you're printing the temp or converting that temp, it's still printed.
All right, gentlemen, this was fun. Let's go watch a lecture.
Yeah,
we'll learn some more.
Is it time to go?
It's time to probably go. Hey, how can people get in contact with you? If they want to work with you, try you out, that sort of thing. That'd be cool.
Anyone can email me at mansouri@detroitlab.com. That's mansouri@detroitlab.com.
Yeah, Justin?
You can just shoot me a message on Facebook, Justin McElroy, or you can go to my Instagram.
You can slide into your DMs.
Yeah, go to Instagram, Midwest Dental Arts. You can check out some of our work there and just some of the workflows too. We try to educate, you know, on a social media platform. So,
are you on Insta too?
I'm on Insta too.
I follow you.
I'm on Detroit Lab.
Yeah, I think I follow you. All right, everybody, have a good day. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.